day for you being with us, for the graciousness of the rain that you've bestowed upon our parched and dry land. May your word that we reflect upon quench our thirst and fill us with your spirit. That the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for God is coming. When you first heard that verse that we hear today, as Jesus begins his public ministry in Galilee, do you know who the first one had that call and that cry for the people to repent? John the Baptist. And John the Baptist made that claim, do you know where? In the wilderness of Judea that extends from Jerusalem down to the sea. John was in the wilderness. John was out there living, seeking God and calling for the people who were out there and those who came to the wilderness seeking God to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's also the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Jesus is not in the desert. He's not in the wilderness. And he takes up John's call where? In Galilee. People are coming to seek God in the wilderness for John, but now it's a little bit different because who's calling for repentance? And where is repentance, that call coming to the people from, and whom is it that's making the call and proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven is at hand? Jesus stands in Galilee. He stands amongst the people and proclaims, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so we have a change, not just in who's proclaiming the repentance and that God's kingdom is at hand, we have a change in location. We have a change in location. So as we look at that, that's the verse I want us to look at this morning. Just one verse to look at. I know we all want to talk about God calling people to be fishers of men and go out. No, not today. We're going to talk about repentance and the kingdom of God being at hand. And we're going to begin with the end in mind. We're going to begin with the end in mind. The kingdom of God is at hand. So when you hear those words, what do you think of? When you hear the kingdom of God is at hand, what comes to your mind? Disaster movies? Tidal waves, tsunamis? The end is here. With fear and trepidation, you need to turn. It's all being destroyed. We can't have change because there's no hope in that change. Where do we find what's going on? How do we deal with what's taking place? Oh my gosh, the world's going to come to an end. Everything that I know or that I'm comfortable with is coming to an end. At least that's how it's been portrayed to us, right? It's always portrayed as doom and gloom. And so we sit there
that Armageddon is upon us. And we see that throughout our lives, that people will tell us that. There's not a day that doesn't go by when you cannot pick up a newspaper or hear it on the radio or something else that it's doom and gloom. Doom and gloom because the world is coming to an end. But the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So as you reflect upon that and what you think of is there's been a change in venue. A change in venue. A lot of times when we go seeking for God, how do we go seek God? We go to retreats, workshops. Anybody here up for a retreat out to Nyland, California, and go out in the desert? It's a real pleasant place. We'll go all sit out by the Salton Sea and seek God. Who's up for that? Yeah, Alex. Okay, you know, all right, we'll go that route. We go seeking for God. We go to get away because we don't think we're going to hear God in the midst of our busy life of where we are at. Okay? That's not a bad thing. Sometimes we got to get away to hear God. Let's be honest. There's a lot of noise going on around our world. In fact, sometimes we're called to go to places like that, and we're reminded of an individual today who went and did that. He was called. He saw something burning up in the mountain, and he went to go take a look. And when he arrived there, he sees a bush that's burning but just doesn't go out, and the bush is not consumed. And so Moses stands there looking at the bush, and what does he hear? Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals of your feet, for the place on which you stand is holy ground. If that happened to you, what would your response be? I'd be waiting for something to strike me down, or that my feet are going to burn off, or something's going to take place. Because we think every time we go into the presence of God that it's going to be doom and gloom. Or we're going to be in the presence of God and I'm going to be, or you or I are going to be struck down. But that's not what happens. Because the venue has changed. And we need to think about the ground on which we act, in which we find ourselves. It shows that great divide between us and God. Us and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That great divide of how do we get along or how do we live with Him in His presence. Because we live in a world that is post-Garden of Eden. But what takes place in the change of venue? What do we do? Where do we find that the kingdom of God is near? And how near is the kingdom of God? You say it's near, but how near? 1 foot, 5 feet, 20 feet? Where's this at? Can I see it? Is it over on the horizon? Where's the kingdom of God? 700 years prior to the nativity of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah exclaimed, "Thus says the Lord, behold, I lift up my hand to the Gentiles, and I will set my signal to the islands. They shall bring your sons in their bosom, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. I gave my back to whips and my cheeks to blows, and I turned not away my face from the shame of spitting." God? We're in kind of a wilderness here. It doesn't matter whether we went out to Nyland, or sitting in La Mesa or San Diego or Spring Valley. It seems like a wilderness. Where are you? Is that you? Where are we at here? A few weeks ago, we heard this in response. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being just a man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is near. Where do we see that today? Well, later on in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus culminates somewhat of his public ministry by commissioning his 12 disciples. And before Jesus commissions his 12 disciples, and he's been proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is near, how does he proclaim the kingdom of heaven is near? He heals people. He raises them from the dead. He gives words of encouragement and thanksgiving and forgives their sins. The kingdom of heaven is in and amongst the people. He commissions his disciples, and what's he send them out to do? He sends them out and gives them power as he's given us through the Holy Spirit, as we hear about in the book of Acts on Pentecost, and live in our lives and receive at our baptisms the power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. As you go and preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Seen that here? Prayers have been answered, right? Surgeries are taking place sooner than later. The kingdom of heaven is near. Prayer and healing over people and illnesses going away, or good reports coming back, or whether it's psychological or spiritual trauma, is healed, happens here. Has happened, will happen, and does happen here. The kingdom of heaven is near. It takes place because of what? Now, you got to remember, I began with the end in mind. Why do these things take place? Why is the kingdom of heaven near? Why is the kingdom of heaven here? It's that first word in the verse. Repent. Repentance. Now, when you hear that word, what do you hear? How bad you are? Guilt? Shame? How sinful? I mean, anybody care to want to make a list? We could do what the early church did. We'll start over here. We'll start in the choir. And we'll go one by one. Everybody will stand up and just confess all their sins to everybody. And hey, we don't have enough time. I don't think it would go over real well either. I don't think we would do real well. Because God knows what's really on our hearts. But repentance, we have a tendency to think about what? Guilt and shame and how bad we are. But if you really look at the word repent and repentance, which is metanoia in the Greek, it really means to turn about, to turn towards God, to reorient oneself. And when one reorients oneself to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what happens? The kingdom of God. It's here. It's now. Christ among us. And he takes care of us as we turn to him. Because
the venue changed. As much as we seek God, we don't necessarily always have to go to the wilderness or a workshop or a retreat to find God. God comes to us in Jesus Christ. He comes to us in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he comes seeking whom? You. It's changed. We're always seeking for him, but sometimes we need to pause and say, there he is. And we are healed. And all that doom and gloom that we hear about is changed in perspective because God came to us. Ever since the beginning of time, it's a return to the Garden of Eden. Now, the world's still got its problems. We know the Garden of Eden isn't here and now. But it's God returning to us to walk with us. Think about it for a moment. What does it mean to be in the presence of God? It means to walk with God, to turn to God and to walk with God in the midst of life where it's at. That's God present to you and to me, to where we are at, regardless of the situations that we're following or what is going on. It is to turn to God. It is to have God to walk with you. Some examples out of the New Testament, and there's lots of examples we can point to. But when we turn to God, what do you see in our repentance? And we turn to God. One of the most famous ones is the prodigal son. When you look at that parable, what happens? The son, seeking God, just goes back to God, and what happens? The kingdom of heaven is present. Mary Magdalene, Jesus cast out 7 demons from her, and what happens to her life? And how did she live and work? The kingdom of heaven has come. Or we look at Peter, who denied Jesus how many times? He's supposed to be the rock of the church. This is how our faith is supposed to be. He denies him 3 times at one of the most critical times in history, and what happens at the end? He returns to God, and the kingdom is there. Or you could even take Paul on his, well, actually not Paul, it'd be Saul at the time, on going to Damascus, and Jesus, in seeking him, stops him dead in his tracks. And what happened? What was his response? And the kingdom of God is present. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is near. It is more than confessing our guilt. It is turning to God. And when we turn to God within the circumstances of our lives, the kingdom of heaven is there. To God be the glory now and forever. Amen.